Yeah, it's a fascinating equation. As you know, JJ, we've talked for years on this issue, and I've followed Iran since the early 80s. Certainly, they have a long history of the ability to carry out catastrophic attacks, most notably targeting American diplomatic footprints, as well as the kidnapping of diplomats in Beirut, for example. You know, their capabilities and reach inside the United States to me is one that's fascinating, JJ. And the reason I say that is for your local listeners there in the DC area, they certainly may recall, some of the graybeards may recall, the Iranian targeting of the dissident there in Bethesda, Maryland. And I believe that was 1981, where that was a targeted assassination from Iran. By a gentleman dressed up as a mailman. That was just something right out of like 3 Days of the Condor. And he shot the Iranian dissident and fled to Iran. And so, they have that capability. They also have the ability through their IRGC and their MOIS to lure dissidents out of the United States, for example. There's a few that are languishing on death row inside of Iran. So they do have a global reach. Now, as you look at this assassination plot, the one thing I can't make sense of, JJ, and I'd love to know what you think about this, is this all linked back to the assassination of IRGC General Soleimani? And so what we're seeing resurface recently before the sniper attack, was that just circular reporting of the original threat that was directed against President Trump, former Secretary of State Pompeo, and Robert O'Brien, for example? That's not clear in my mind.
When you look at what took place, did it strike you as something that was well planned, well executed, or was it something where he just got lucky?
It's a great question. And certainly, there was also the plot to kill the Saudi ambassador to the United States, which was ran out of Mexico City, if you may recall as well, that was allegedly put together by the Iranians. So, that's the fear as a protector, JJ, or if you're in the intelligence community, is does the Iranians have the capability to outsource this kind of sniper attack to an individual that perhaps is much more talented, or let's be blunt, a better shot? And obviously, the answer to that question is yes. Now, look, I went through the Secret Service Academy in 1981. We spent a week on presidential assassinations. And it's not lost on the Secret Service that you had JFK killed at Dealey Plaza, you had Martin Luther King killed by James Earl Ray in 68 by snipers. And the Warren Commission specifically designated this as a problem that the Secret Service had to fix. So, as you look at this attempt, and thank goodness it failed, certainly those hard questions have to be asked as to where were the failure points. Let's be honest, that rooftop should have been posted. In our business, it would have been called a pre-poster. It would have either been done by the local police, a Secret Service uniform division officer, or a Secret Service special officer would have been fixated on that roof in a pre-post position. So that, at the end of the day, is the question that people need to ask. What happened? I have my supposition as to what occurred, and I think that the advance agent that did the work probably was, like many times, and I've done these advances myself. You're doing a thousand things. You probably did not have a protective intelligence advance assigned, is my judgment. You're dealing with less resources. The former presidents always have less resources. You don't have a robust CAT team there, counter assault team, to help you, nor TSD, the Technical Security Division. So you're relying a lot on the locals and the state police, and you're trying to make everything work. And when it works, nothing ever happens. But when it doesn't work, things literally go south very, very quickly, as we saw unfold in Butler, Pennsylvania on Saturday.
Now, what do you make of the suspect and that individual's capabilities?
Well, first, let's all be grateful that he was a horrible shot and missed. Having said that, I think President Trump, by turning his head at that last second, certainly made a big difference. That wasn't a difficult shot. I've been to Dealey Plaza, like many have, and looked out the window where Lee Harvey Oswald took the shot. There's actually a big X on the ground there. I've been to Memphis, Tennessee, and stood where James Earl Ray took the shot at Martin Luther King. That also was not a difficult shot. This was not a difficult shot either, JJ. So, by the grace of God, it missed. The shooter, obviously was the threat was neutralized by, the U.S. Secret Service counter sniper team. And, look, these folks are very good. They're the best in the business when it comes to protection, but it boils down to a bandwidth and resource problem at times. And in reality, during a campaign year with a looming convention, you can see how resources are spread very thin across the protection umbrella. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying I know how these things can happen.
So how do you fix these things? You've served in a leadership role at the State Department with the diplomatic security team there. So how do you fix, what's the first thing you do when you start trying to fix something like this?
Well, look, and let's not lose sight of the fact that the State Department Diplomatic Security Service has a long history of tragedy and disaster as well. No agency is immune to these kinds of problems, JJ, I'm sad to say. Having said that, tragedy forces change. After the attack in Benghazi, the State Department agents now learn how to protect a dignitary when a building's under fire. Now, this incident in Butler, Pennsylvania, with a sniper. I know the Secret Service. I know this industry. They will course correct and fix this. So the immediate thing is to look at it from a protective security perspective and say, how come that roof wasn't posted? What ball was dropped there? Was that supposed to be a local police officer on that roof? Was it supposed to be a Secret Service uniform division officer? Or was the roof supposed to be locked down so no one could get on the roof? That's the question that needs to be asked. Secondly, you have to look at your advances going forward and make sure that you have your perimeter locked down. And trust me when I say this, it will be. That's one thing that the Secret Service does very well post-incident. And let me give you an example of that, JJ. In 81, after Hinckley jumped out of the press pen to shoot President Reagan, that was posted up by the DC Police Department, the Metropolitan Police, that would run around and help the US Secret Service at these venue sites. Post-shooting, the Secret Service, after the internal inquiry, decided to utilize US Secret Service Uniform Division assets to now monitor going forward, for example, those kinds of press pens. So I look for that kind of course correction to take place, where you'll see more uniform division assets of the Secret Service, or they also have special police officers, annuitants, retired agents, and so forth, that they muster to do certain kinds of jobs like move limos around, drive limos during motorcades, and so forth. So, and then one has to also look at the Secret Service and think about attrition. These jobs are tough, JJ. You're always on the road, you're never home. And the Secret Service has an attrition problem. And that's just reality. Just like my old outfit, the State Department, they have an attrition problem. Everybody suffers this. Protection is tough work. And after a while, in many ways, it's a young person's job, JJ. And after you do this for 2 or 3 years and you look out over the horizon, do you really want to be doing this when you're 40 or 45 or 50?
Very good point. And I think that's probably true of so many people in so many different fields. But in this particular one, a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot is at stake. One final thing I want to ask you. This stunned a lot of people on Saturday when it took place. The fact that we're, as of today, July 17th, 2024, 4 days away from the actual shooting, and we still haven't heard from authorities about a motive. What does that tell you?
that they simply don't know. I look at this as very similar to, for example, the MGM shooter, the Las Vegas shooter. I look at this in many ways as it's going to take time to try to figure it out, and we very well may not know the answer to that question. We know the answer as to why Sirhan Sirhan, for example, shot Robert F. Kennedy because you could ask him. That was never an opportunity for Lee Harvey Oswald after Jack Ruby shoots him. So these kinds of things now have to be pieced together post-incident, and they have to walk back the cat and go through the digital media. They have to do a lot of behavioral analysis. They have to talk to friends and families. But at the end of the day, we all have to be prepared that we simply may not know a motive since the shooter is dead.
Fred Burton is Executive Director of Protective Intelligence at ONTIC. GJ Green, WTOP News.